Welcome to the Grace to You audio blog. After you hear what John MacArthur says, stick around and find out how to get in on the conversation.
While we're talking about what has gone wrong on the distaff side, while we're talking about what is wrong on the female side, we cannot ignore the failure of men. Failure to follow and fulfill their responsibility as God has designed it. They too have perverted their maleness, perverted the role that God intended for them. There's no question about that. In fact, when things go wrong on an athletic team, the coach gets fired. He's the leader, and success is his responsibility. When profits drop seriously in a corporation, the president and the CEO are replaced. When things don't go well in the church, the board seeks a new pastor. That's the nature of leadership. If things aren't going well, you take it right to the leader. The leader bears the responsibility ultimately for success and for failure. And we see that all throughout our society. And certainly in the home, the buck stops with the husband, with the father. And if all is not well, the greatest measure of responsibility for that may well be in the hands of the leader, the father. By God's design and by God's will, clearly expressed in Scripture, the man is the head of the household. He is the leader. He is the one responsible for the success of the marriage, the success of the family, the well-being of everyone involved. So say what we will about feminism and its agenda. Say what we will about the satanic assault on the proper role of a woman. We also cannot ignore the issue of male irresponsibility, which perhaps in the end is even more devastating. It would seem to me that feminism would have a much tougher time surviving, let alone gaining ground, in a world where men understood their responsibility clearly. And we are asking the question today, and it's a question that all of us ponder, where are the strong husbands? Where are the loyal, loving, leading husbands and fathers? Where are those men who are the backbone, the solid framework of structure on which you can build a marriage and build a family and build a society? Men have developed their own agendas, their own goals, pursuing their own achievements, living in worlds, for the most part, isolated completely from the family, out of the house, pursuing personal goals, active in their own world of business, and passive, largely, in the home. They are, in their world, aggressive, doers, problem solvers, coming up with all kinds of innovative and inventive ways to make money, seeking promotion, prestige, and respect from the strangers in their other world. They are driven to achieve. And in the home, for the most part, they appear passive, indifferent, and irresponsible. Over the course of 150 years, American men walked out on their God-given responsibility for moral and spiritual leadership in the homes, schools, and Sunday schools of the nation. What you have is the disappearance of the American husband, the disappearance of the American father, all for initially noble purposes, a better life. But the father left the home and began to cultivate a world completely independent of his own family, a world which his own family knows little of anything about. That has caused subtle and not so subtle, radical and devastating change. And we can explain the problem with men sociologically, historically, the fact that we have basically created a world outside the home and we don't have much choice but to go there and live in that world. We can explain those things sociologically, but that's really only a force. That's really only a pressure. That's really only a venue of temptation. That's really not the explanation. The explanation for the breakdown of male leadership is the fact that men no longer obey the Word of God. In fact, throughout our society, most men have no idea what it says, and when they find out, they're not interested in following it. There are so many passive and indifferent and weak men in the home who out there in the world are strong and aggressive. But when it comes to their families, they have abandoned the responsibility to their wives. They have forfeited their character. They have really forfeited their manhood. And they have abandoned their leadership. Therefore, their marriage forfeits the ideal. So does the family. And what do you expect but chaos? And where can we start? Where can we pick up the pieces of all of this? I think for Christian men, we have to start here. The heart of being the man God desires you to be is to get a grip on the responsibility you have for the physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being of your wife and your family. That's where you begin. Moral and spiritual leadership, as well as emotional and physical security, strength and protection, lifelong provision and support, that is what male headship is all about. It's not something mystical, it's something very practical. And if we're ever going to get back men in leadership, it's going to begin in the home. It's going to begin when men take their responsibility given by God, Christian men, for the physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being of their wives and families. Far more important than that you have some kind of success in your career, even with a view toward having a good testimony, far more important that you express the unique role that you have as a man, first of all, in your own home. Now that takes us back to our text. When we talk about men who are spirit-filled, when we talk about men who are godly men in a home, we begin in verse 25 with these words, "Husbands, love your wives." That's the beginning. That's the starting point. Verse 28, "So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies." Verse 29 says, "No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, and she is your flesh, you are one flesh, and you must take care of her as yourself." That's how Christ cares for his church. He meets the church's needs. Men, we are the providers, we are the protectors, we are the preservers, we are the resources for our wives and our families, and that is our responsibility. And when their needs are met, and we care for them as we would care for ourselves, then we have the kind of relationship that God wants us to have. So if you want your marriage to be blessed, you take care of your wife. When you know she has a need, you seek to meet it. When you know she has a secret longing in her heart, and it's certainly reasonable and will add to her virtue and her well-being and her happiness and her ability to fulfill her role, you do everything you can to meet that need. Something is seriously wrong when a man sees his wife as a cook and a clothes washer and a babysitter and a sex partner and that's it. Something is seriously wrong when he puts her in the place of the breadwinner. She is a God-given treasure to be cared for, to be cherished, to be nourished, to be your loving helper, to fulfill your need for companionship, for the fulfillment of physical desire, for the fulfillment of love and partnership and friendship, and to produce children in a home. Notice those two terms, nourish and cherish, in verse 29. Nourish means to feed. It's a word used primarily of bringing up children. It's used over in chapter 6, verse 4, where it says, "Bring them up." We think about bringing up our children. We think about nourishing, feeding, developing, nurturing our children. But do we think of that with regard to our wives? I think most men just disregard that responsibility, see the wife as responsible for the kids, and go charging out into their own world. We are responsible to nourish her so she, in her marvelous role, can effectively nourish the children as she has been given opportunity. Then the word cherish literally means, a beautiful word, to warm with body heat. It's sometimes translated to melt. It means to soften. It is used of a mother bird who just pulls in all the little baby birds and keeps them all cozy and warm in her feathers. It means to provide a nest, warmth, security, to soften her to a meek and quiet spirit, to support her, to care for her. I tell you, pretty challenging in the world in which we live today. When women are raised to be tough and independent, it takes a great man, it takes a tremendous amount of spiritual leadership to soften a woman, to warm a woman, to melt her down to a meek and quiet spirit, to provide a nest and security and strength and warmth. She is not the nourisher. She is not the provider. You're to do that. That is the man's responsibility. And if a man doesn't do that, according to 1 Timothy 5:8, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Throughout Scripture, the man is always the provider, as Christ is the provider for his church. That's key. We provide nothing. The church provides nothing. We just receive Christ's provision, protection, preservation, his care, his nourishing, his cherishing. It comes to us. In a sense, it's very one-sided. Men, we are to provide that in our homes. You say, well, I'd have to sacrifice my career to do that. Then sacrifice it. Maybe you can't climb as fast and as far up the ladder as you would like, but in the end, you're going to be so richly rewarded in the bliss of that home that it'll be far worth every sacrifice.
Now we want to hear from you. Here's the address, gty.org/audioblog. That's gty.org/audioblog.